But you know, as we look to the scriptures and what the Bible tells us about the last days, I feel like sometimes we're so used to what we're living in, we don't have an opportunity to kind of look outside and say, hey, look what all's going on in our world. There's that saying where you're so far in the forest, so far amongst the trees, you can't see the forest, right? Or there's the frog being boiled to death in the kettle. They don't even know in the boiling pot that they're being boiled to death until it's too late and they finally die. They should just jump out right away. You know, when we look to the scriptures, the Bible declares all these things will be happening in the last days. And so we see for ourselves as Christian believers, it ignites our faith. It should, anyway. Ignite our faith personally, that we would watch and be ready personally, and that also we'd be Christians that would be sharing our faith with family, with friends, with co-workers, with a stranger in the street and people across the world, wherever God takes us. So this is never to create fear, but rather an urgency to share the gospel so that other souls would be saved. I'd like for you to open your Bibles, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 51 and 52, as we finish up this incredible prophet of God and the wonderful work that he did, even though for some 55 years, no one got saved. Many did listen to him. There was a remnant that listened to him and did not try to fight against the Babylonians, and they were taken captive, as God had declared. God always has a remnant of those that will live for him and serve him and honor him. Unfortunately, the majority will not. We want to be the remnant of the Lord that will continue to keep the word of God, that will always declare the name of Jesus Christ, never deny his name. We want to be that church of Philadelphia and be ready to go in the rapture of the church. Jesus says, I'll keep you from the hour of trial that will come upon the whole world. I came across an interesting article that we're now going to have to go to battle on, and it is something as horrible as I see in the last days, as the Lord has spoken, that it'll be like the days of Noah, it'll be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, as now we have authorized in our country and licensed same-sex marriages, which is absolutely contradictory to the Word of God. Is an abomination to the Lord, and thus our country is continuing to set itself up for judgment. I believe judgment has not come for two reasons. One, there is still a good, healthy Christian church in the United States of America. And secondly, we do support Israel, although those areas can be exhausted, and God could bring great judgment against us. But now we're falling headlong into an even worse, well, I don't know. Can we get much worse? The killing of innocent babies in the womb. Well, now we've ventured into, this article is entitled Sacrificing Children to Trans Ideology, an Unscientific Federal Study. I hope that President Trump can get hold of this and put a stop to this foolishness, along with the Republican Party, if they're worth their salt. This article reads as follows. Don't be fooled by the scientific-sounding jargon. Transgender ideology is just that, an ideology, and it's one that's endangering lives. What do you do as a Christian when someone cites a quote-unquote scientific study allegedly proving that transgender kids do well with hormone therapy and sex reassignment surgery? Well, you've got to ask questions. It's certainly the right strategy for a new $5.7 million study just commissioned by the National Institutes of Health. Writing a public discourse, Jane Robbins and Aaron Tuttle predict that this study, once completed, will become the go-to evidence for supporters of so-called affirmation therapy. In other words, it will be used to support chemically and surgically altering the developing and healthy bodies of children to make them look like those of the opposite sex. The study's methodology, authors, and stated purpose all make it clear that it's crafted to produce a predetermined conclusion. That, quote, transgender affirmation therapy is safe and effective for gender dysphoric youngsters. The study's authors all but admit this, writing in their abstract that their goal is to, quote, use cross-sex hormones in order to induce development of desired secondary sexual characteristics that bring the body into closer alignment with the youth's internal sense of gender. Notice the appropriateness of altering a child's body to harmonize with his or her preferred gender is just assumed. It's not evaluated. And this assumption is destructive, even sometimes deadly. Let's be clear about what affirmation therapy really means. Children are given high doses of puberty-suppressing drugs. Doctors then flood their systems with testosterone or estrogen to induce the formation of opposite-sex characteristics like breasts in males and facial hair in females. Some patients, partway through this process, will undergo sex reassignment surgery, in which their internal and even external genitals are removed or remodeled. This so-called treatment will render them infertile for life and can create a host of side effects like cancer, infections, gallbladder diseases, and spikes in blood pressure. There is also no long-term research on how these high doses of hormones affect bodies in the long run, bodies that weren't designed to handle them in the first place. There is, however, abundant data on the psychological damage of medically transitioning. One study from Great Britain found that 20% of patients who'd undergone this procedure regretted it. Walt Heyer, a man who formerly lived as a transgender woman and now identifies with his biological sex once again, thinks that's a serious underestimation. He cites research showing that 41% of post-operative patients attempt suicide. 90% have a, quote, significant form of psychopathology, and half have depressive symptoms. The NIH, National Institute of Health, is apparently ignoring all this. And it's clear even at this early stage that they've got a conclusion in search of an argument. All four of the doctors and clinics selected to conduct the research are deeply invested in transgender ideology. Two already conduct irreversible hormonal transitions, sometimes on children as young as 14 years old. And one calls therapies aimed at reconciling kids with their biological sex dangerous. But what's truly dangerous is that this deeply unscientific project will not only harm the children involved, it's largely unnecessary. Robbins and Tuttle cite research showing that 80 to 90% of gender dysphoric children will accept their biological sex by late adolescence. In other words, they often grow out of it. Yet the National Institute of Health is paying for research with our tax dollars to engrave these feelings irreversibly on children's bodies, all at a time when they're too young to fully understand the consequences. Like almost everything, this comes down to worldview. Transgender activists believe that feelings define people. And if our feelings are out of sync with our bodies, then our bodies must change through any chemical or surgical means necessary. But beginning with this conclusion and then crafting a study to prove it isn't science, in fact, it's more like a religion that's demanding child sacrifice. This article was written by Breakpoint. If you watch films of Nazi Germany, you find that their doctors were greatly involved in experimentation upon all kinds of people to see what the results would be. We have reached a Dr. Frankenstein type of atmosphere amongst, unfortunately, our medical community. And I say it needs to stop. And I say we need to help children that are confused and help them recognize and realize who they are and how God created them. And I say we Christians have the answer. We're not bigoted against anyone. But we will declare the truth for everyone. God is truth. His word is truth. His design is true. And you and I are the only voices that will cry out and help the children. By those who are immoral, who are perverse, who are crazed in this ideology of lack of identity and this desire to pervert our children, we must stand up against them, and we must call it sin, we must call it wrong, and we must help these kids that are going to be so confused growing up. God has called us to this, I believe, without a doubt. The church is the one that stands up for righteousness and godliness. And I know you hear me say these things time and time again. And I will always say them, and I will continue to say them till the day I die. Because it's right. And I love children enough to help them with the truth. I don't want one homosexual to perish. I want them all to come to repentance and to know their Creator, God. I know their hearts and their minds have been deceived. And the same with those who are trying to bring forth this work of transgenderism. And it is absolutely destructive. Let's get to Jeremiah chapter 51. Jeremiah, the prophet of God, who is a man of perseverance, a man of persecution, and a man of providence. He declares his final messages about the destruction of Babylon, which did take place. As well, in chapter 52, he gives us a little historical lesson about a couple of kings of Israel. So let's begin our reading. Thus says the Lord, behold, I'll raise up against Babylon, against those who dwell in Leb-Kamai, a destroying wind, and I will send winnowers to Babylon, who will winnow her and empty her land. For in the day of doom, They shall be against her all around. Against her let the archer bend his bow, lift himself up against her in his armor. Do not spare her young men, utterly destroy all her army. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, those of the Babylonian Empire. And those thrust through in her streets, for Israel is not forsaken, nor Judah. But is God the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel, he says, flee from the midst of Babylon, and everyone save his life. Do not be cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He shall recompense her. Daniel's word is going to be sent to Babylon itself, and it's going to be read. And the judgment's going to fall as we read Daniel chapter 5. Again, we see that handwriting on the wall, as I shared last week. And the Medo-Persians will come in and destroy the Babylonians. It's historical fact. All that the prophets of God have spoken regarding the destruction of Israel, the destruction of Judah, destruction of Israel to the north, the 10 tribes by the Assyrians, and then the destruction of Judah by the Babylonians, then 70 years later, the destruction of the Babylonian Empire by the Medo-Persians, then the Medo-Persians will be destroyed by the Grecians and the Grecians by the Romans, as Daniel the prophet receives this overall vision of the empires of the world, and in the last days, a revived Roman Empire that is filled with mystery Babylon, which we have today. The world religions of our day is mystery Babylon. And the rising up of the one world government, which will take place after the rapture of the church. Because the fullness of the Antichrist, a lawless one, will then be coming forth in all of his glory, and all of his power, and all of his lying deceptions and false miracles and wonders. And he will be called the Christ of the New Age, the Maitreya, the Mahdi. He will call himself God. The days are coming because the Bible says so. The Bible declares all of this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Jesus, Matthew chapter 24. We find there in the book of Revelation chapter 13. All these things are going to come about, and we're seeing them unveiled before our very eyes as the global economic systems are all tied in through the computer systems of our world. Whereas nobody can buy or sell unless they have the mark of the beast. God's word is absolutely trustworthy. Many people do not believe the word of God because they don't know the word of God. My people perish for their lack of what? You have the knowledge. I have the knowledge. But we must share the knowledge so that the captives can be set free from Satan and this world system. God is dealing with the nation of Israel once again. It is right before our eyes in the news day by day. We need to be people of prayer. We need to be people of the Word. We need to be people of action in these last days. The Bible says in verse 7, Babylon was a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunk, and the nations drank her wine. Therefore, the nations are deranged. Babylon has suddenly fallen and been destroyed. Wail for her. Take balm for her pain. Perhaps she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go, everyone to his own country. For her judgment reaches to heaven and is lifted up to the skies. The Lord has revealed our righteousness. Come and let us declare it in Zion, the work of the Lord our God. Make the arrows bright. Gather the shields. The Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, that is the Medo-Persians. For his plan is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord. the vengeance for his temple. Set up the standard on the walls of Babylon. Make the guards strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. For the Lord has both devised and done what he spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon. O you who dwell by many waters, abundant in treasures, your end has come. The measure of your covetousness. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, surely I will fill you with men as with locusts, and they shall lift up a shout against you. He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heaven by his understanding. When he utters his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. Everyone is dull-hearted without knowledge. Every metalsmith is put to shame by the carved image. For his molded image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are futile, a work of errors. The time of their punishment, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the maker of all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. So this comparison of these false gods, these idols that the Babylonians had compared to the true and living God of the nation of Israel. Creator of the heavens and the earth. You are my battle axe and weapons of war. For with you I will break the nation in pieces. With you I will destroy kingdoms. With you I will break in pieces the horse and its rider. With you I will break in pieces the chariot and its rider. With you I also will break in pieces man and woman. With you I will break in pieces old and young. With you I will break in pieces the young man and the maiden. With you also I will break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. With you I will break in pieces the farmer and his yoke of oxen. And with you I'll break in pieces governors and rulers. I will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea for all the evil they have done in Zion, in Jerusalem. In your sight, says the Lord. As we compare this destruction, we can foresee the destruction that will take place in the Great Tribulation period. Great catastrophic events will take place on planet Earth where there will no longer be mountain ranges. There will no longer be islands. Such catastrophic volcanic eruptions as well as earthquakes across our planet. Great tectonic movement is going to take place in the last half of the tribulation period. We're but tasting those earthquakes right now. God's massive destruction is going to take place on planet Earth. Hailstones weighing 100 pounds will be pummeling planet Earth. Great scorpions with a sting of which man wishes he could die, but he cannot die for over 6 months. Horrible diseases unleashed upon the planet. Why? Because of man's rebellion and rejection of Jesus Christ, of God, their Creator. And we must understand that as this judgment falls and those that continue to fight against God, they will never, ever want to turn to God. They will never, ever want to turn to Jesus Christ. In fact, if Jesus stood in front of them, they would cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Their hearts are bent on evil. They are filled with darkness. They're filled with rebellion. They're filled with unbelief. Their allegiance is totally to Satan as they take the mark of the beast. And the majority of the world will take the mark of the beast. We have been warning our world for years upon years, upon decades, upon centuries about the Lord Jesus Christ and His second coming and the great tribulation. And every pastor and Bible teacher must be proclaiming it more than ever in these last days. Not about riches on earth. All you people of Hillsong, all you people of health and wealth preachers, enough. It is time to preach the Bible all the way through. It is time to preach the book of Revelation. It is time to preach every word and verse of the Word of God. Enough of this programmed Broadway entertainment. It is time to return to worship and the Word of God. You see, my friends, we're living amongst the church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church. And any Bible teacher or pastor that's not preaching the fullness of the Word of God, they need to repent and get right with God. And it can happen in one simple prayer, that they will make a decision. I no longer desire to be popular, but rather I desire to be a preacher of the Word of God. And I will preach it in its fullness, in its context, from Genesis to Revelation. If they want to take a book of the Bible, then take a book of the Bible and preach it, man. Let it be Matthew. Let it be Hebrews. Let it be Romans. Let it be Genesis. Let it be Exodus. Let it be Jeremiah. But preach it all the way through for the sake of your people, man. It's time for preachers to get down to business. Because we're living in the last days and there's great, great, great deception. There are those who are deceived, and they deceive others in their false doctrines and their false teachings. It's vitally important. This is not a game. It's not a game. It's not a social club. It's not a nightclub. It's not a country club. This is the war for souls. People are going to hell every day forever. Wake up! You know, as we look to what's going on in the church, people must be called to repentance. We don't like to talk about that. You have to talk about it. Those are the words all the way through the Scriptures for people to repent of their sins. We have to talk about heaven and we have to talk about hell. We've got to talk about sin. We've got to talk about salvation. Becoming a Christian isn't your pathway to be rich. Monetarily, materially. Where did that message come from? It came from hell. You cannot serve God and mammon. What's wrong with you preachers? Why have you left the Word of God? Why is your money about begging for money all the time? Why is your message always about money? Shame on you. Repent of your sins. Return to the Word of God. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's about living for Him. It's about honoring Him. It's about serving Him. It's about having your life changed. It's about the salvation of souls. That's the gospel message. That's why the apostles were persecuted and killed for their faith, because they declared the true message of God. That's why Jesus was crucified. Pastor Darrell, you've just gone too far. You've gone off the deep end. I haven't gone deep enough. I haven't gone deep enough. Not until we see a change in the church. Revival is revival. Revival is revival. That the Bible will be read and declared in its fullness. In sound doctrine. That's what it's all about. And I'm speaking to preachers. I'm speaking to myself. I'm not a perfect preacher. I'm learning every day. Every day. Every day, I want to do better. And sometimes I wonder, Lord, maybe I'm a knucklehead. But I guess I'm a knucklehead for Jesus. We just keep preaching the Word of God. I'm no better than any other man. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of the mercies of God. But I know this much. I have a commander-in-chief who has told me to preach the fullness of the Bible. It's his holy scriptures that must be declared. That's Jeremiah. Man, I love this book. This guy, he just never quits. He never gives up all the way through. Persecuted by the world, persecuted by his own people because they did not want to believe the Word of God. I'm not into persecution. I'm not like some kind of martyr guy. I don't want that. I don't want it for anybody. But we cannot compromise the Word of God. Amen? We have to maintain it. We have to preach it. We have to declare it in all of its fullness. Jeremiah declares in verse 25, "Behold, I am against you, O destroying mountain, who destroys all the earth, says the Lord," speaking of the Babylonian Empire. "And I will stretch out my hand against you, roll you down from the rocks, and make you a burnt mountain. They shall not take from you a stone for a corner, nor a stone for a foundation, but you shall be desolate forever, says the Lord. Set up a banner in the land, blow the trumpet among the nations, prepare the nations against her, call the kingdoms together against her, Ararat, Minai, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a general against her. Cause the horses to come up like the bristling locusts. Prepare against her the nations, with the kings and the Medes, its governors and all its rulers, all the land of his dominion. The land will tremble in sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon. To make the land of Babylon an a desolation without inhabitant. The mighty men of Babylon have ceased fighting. They've remained in their strongholds. Their might has failed. It became like women. They have burned her dwelling places. The bars of her gate are broken. One runner will run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken on all sides. The passages are blocked. The reeds they have burned with fire. The men of war are terrified. We know that when the Medes and Persians had surrounded Babylon, they diverted the Euphrates River and came underneath the city walls. The walls that were impenetrable, they came underneath the walls. They devised a plan. They came underneath and they killed the king that night and took over the city of Babylon. City that they thought could never be destroyed. God forbid that we as a nation would have an idea that we can never be destroyed. Because our faith, and God bless him, we have a great military, but our faith is in God. Our faith is in God. Always praying to God. I use a military slogan, Semper Fi. Let us always be faithful to God. And he will be faithful to us. This is a dangerous world we live in. For thus says the Lord of hosts, verse 33, the God of Israel, The daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. When it is time to thresh her, yet a little while, and the time of her harvest will come. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has devoured me. He has crushed me. He has made me an empty vessel. He has swallowed me up like a monster. He has filled his stomach with my delicacies. He has spit me out like the violence done to me. My flesh be upon Babylon. The inhabitant of Zion will say, and my blood be upon the inhabitants of Chaldea. Jerusalem will say, they came in and they wiped out Jerusalem. God allowed it because of their rebellion, because of their idolatries, because of their immoralities, and they would not repent of their sins, the Jewish people, that is. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will plead your case and take vengeance for you. I'll dry up her sea and make her springs dry. Babylon shall become a heap, a dwelling place for jackals, an astonishment and a hissing without an inhabitant. They shall roar together like lions. They shall growl like lions' whelps. In their excitement, I will prepare their feasts. I will make them drunk that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, says the Lord. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams with male goats. Oh, how Shishak, that is, speaking of Babylon, is taken. Oh, how the praise of the whole earth is seized. How Babylon has become desolate among the nations. The sea has come up over Babylon. She is covered with a multitude of its waves. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land and a wilderness, a land where no one dwells, through which no son of man passes. I will punish Baal in Babylon, and I will bring out his mouth what he has swallowed. And the nation shall not stream to him anymore. Yes, the wall of Babylon shall fall. My people, go out of the midst of her, and let everyone deliver himself from the fierce anger of the Lord. And lest your heart faint, and you fear for the rumor that will be heard in the land. A rumor will come one year, and after that, in another year, a rumor will come, and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, the days are coming that I will bring judgment on the carved images of Babylon. Her whole land shall be ashamed, and all her slain shall fall in her midst. And the heavens and the earth and all that is in them shall sing joyously over Babylon. For the plunderer shall come to her from the north, says the Lord. As Babylon has caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon the slain of all the earth shall fall. You who have escaped the sword, get away, do not stand still. Remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come to your mind. We are ashamed because we have heard reproach. Shame has covered our faces, for strangers have come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring judgment on her carved images. Throughout all her land, the wounded shall groan. Though Babylon were to mount up to heaven, and though she were to fortify the height of her strength, yet from me plunderers would come to her, says the Lord. The sound of a cry comes from Babylon, and great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans, because the Lord is plundering Babylon, silencing her loud voice, though her waves roar like great waters, and the noise of their voice is uttered. Because the plunderer comes against her, against Babylon, and her mighty men are taken, every one of their bows is broken. The Lord is the God of recompense. He will surely repay. Don't you like that about the Lord? The evil ones will not get away with it. God will bring justice. Sometimes we ask ourselves, Lord, why is this happening in our world? Why just bring justice now? His judgment will come. It will come. It will come. We're not in the millennial reign of Christ yet. We've not gone to heaven yet. God is crying out to the whole world to repent of their sins and get saved. I always think about Saul of Tarsus when I think about the grace and the mercies of God. A man who was killing Christians, who ultimately gave his heart to Jesus Christ. No man, no woman is too far for God to save them. And all God's people said, amen. No matter what you've done in life, if you ask God to save your soul and you want to repent of your sins, He will forgive you. He will come into your heart. Jesus Christ will save you and change you forever. He will take you from a destiny of hell to a destination of heaven because He's a God of grace and mercy and love. We find in verse 54, the sound of a cry comes from Babylon and great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans because the Lord is plundering Babylon, silencing her loud voice. Their waves roar like great waters and the noise of their voice is uttered because the plunderer comes against her, against Babylon, and her mighty men are taken. Every one of their bows is broken, for the Lord is the God of recompense. He will surely repay. And I will make drunk her princes and wise men, her governors, her deputies, and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, says the King, whose name is the Lord of hosts. God will bring His judgment upon them. Sometimes we see wicked regimes. God will bring His judgment. You know, I think back about the ugly world leaders that have taken place in our last century, from a Stalin to a Lenin to a Hitler, to a Pol Pot in Cambodia, the millions they killed. I think of Saddam Hussein in Iraq. I remember he declared, if America wants to fight us, it'll be the mother of all wars. Yo mama. Yeah. As he was hung from the gallows. You want to send your Scud missiles into Israel? You're going to pay a price. You want to come against America? Our God is great. You may catch us sleeping once in a while as you fly those planes in the World Trade Towers into the Pentagon. But we will rise again because we believe in our God. When we see evil, we call it evil. I hope America never loses sight of evil. When we see evil, we'll look it in the eye and say, that is evil, and we must deal with it. We will not become complacent. You want to see a good movie? Go see The Darkest Hour about Winston Churchill. Just about destroyed England, all of Europe. But he made a decision to fight, to never give up and to never give in and to never quit because he was staring evil right in the face. And God was with England. And God was with us. And we want God to always be with us. And thus we as a nation and we as a people must repent of our sins. In the church, outside the church, we need to repent, we need to pray, we need to seek God. These are dangerous times. The next ballistic missile warning may not be a warning, even though it wasn't a warning, but it was a false declaration. I don't want us to live in fear. Where there's fear, there's torment. The Bible declares perfect love casts out all fear. God doesn't want anyone to live in fear as a Christian. He wants us to live for Him, to have faith in Him. No matter what happens in life, He is with us. We don't know the outcome of America. I have an idea. I've shared it before. But you and I as Christians, as we're still here, we must pray, we must preach, and we must save souls. But when the immorality is placed upon our children, like this transgender mess and other horrific practices, we must stand to the best of our ability and call it out and say it is evil, it is wrong. And it will always be harmful to people and society. We do it all not because we hate people, but because we love them. We know that the master deceiver, Satan, is leading them down a pathway of destruction. You and I are to be light of the world. Amen? We're to follow in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. We find in verse 58, thus says the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire. The people will labor in vain, and the nations because of the fire, and they shall be weary. The word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Seraiah, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, when he went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, to Babylon in the fourth year of his reign, and Seraiah was the quartermaster. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil. Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that would come upon Babylon. All these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Seraiah, when you arrive in Babylon and see it and read all these words, then you shall say, O Lord, you have spoken against this place to cut it off so that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but it shall be desolate forever. Now it shall be, now it shall be when you have finished reading this book that you shall tie a stone to it and throw it out into the Euphrates. Then you shall say, thus Babylon will sink and not rise from the catastrophe that I will bring upon her. And they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Wow. Read the book. The judgments that's coming against them. Tie a rock on it and throw it into the river. This is what's going to happen to you, Babylon. God always sends forth his word before he sends forth his judgment. He always sends forth the preacher with the word of God before he sends forth his judgment. Right now, we're the preachers, you and me, sharing the love of Christ and sharing the judgment that's coming. You're the watchman. You're the herald. You're the proclaimer. Do you love people? I know you do. Do you love your family? Of course you do. Tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid. Yes, they may reject you. Yes, they may mock you. But I guarantee you, when they put their head on their pillow at night, they're going to be thinking. I know. I was one of them. I didn't like what they had to say to me. I didn't like their message. I didn't like them telling me I'm a sinner. I didn't like them telling me I'm going to hell. I didn't like it at all. And I mocked them. And I stayed away from them. And I called them names. But I guarantee you, every night my head hit the pillow, I thought about what they said. And finally, one day, April the 4th, 1979, the The conviction was overwhelming. And I repented of my sins, and Jesus saved my soul. That's what it's all about, my friends. That's what we do. It is simple, but it is powerful, and it is a war. It is a war for every single soul. Never compromise the Word of God. You're not very loving. No, I love you. You tell them I got to change my lifestyle. Exactly. If you're heterosexual in sin, change. If you're homosexual in sin, change. If you think you're becoming a transgender, change. Come to God. He will satisfy your soul. He'll give you your identity. He will help your heart, your mind, your soul, your life. Jesus Christ is the answer. Verse 52, we get into a little historical lesson as Jeremiah just reviews what happened to these two kings, Zedekiah and Jehoiachin. And he says this, Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, a daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. He also did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. So here's the discourse about this particular king. This is his legacy. His legacy is he did evil in the sight of the Lord. This is a Jewish king. All the northern tribes of Israel that were conquered by the Assyrians, when you read about every single king of the northern 10 tribes, they all did evil in the sight of the Lord. When you read about Judah, the southern kingdom, they vacillated between good kings and bad kings. He was a bad king. When a good king would come along, the people would repent. When a bad king comes along, they all followed him into his evilness and immorality. People watch you, people will follow you. For because of the anger of the Lord, this happened in Jerusalem and Judah, till he finally cast them out from his presence. Then Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Now it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the 10th month, on the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and camped against it, and they built a siege wall against it all around. So the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. By the 4th month, on the 9th day of the month, the famine had become so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land, speaking of Jerusalem. The city wall was broken through, and all the men of war fled and went out of the city at night by way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden, even though the Chaldeans were near the city all around. And they went by way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king, and they overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. All his army was scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah in the land of Hamath. And he pronounced judgment on him. Then the king of Babylon killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes and killed all the princes of Judah in Riblah. He also put out the eyes of Zedekiah. And the king of Babylon bound him in bronze fetters, took him to Babylon, and put him in prison till the day of his death. Now in the 5th month, on the 10th day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard who served the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burned the house of the Lord and the king's house, all the houses of Jerusalem, that is, all the houses of the great, he burned with fire. And all the army of the Chaldeans, who were with the captain of the guard, broke down all the walls of Jerusalem all around. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive some of the poor people, the rest of the people who remained in the city, the defectors who had deserted to the king of Babylon, and the rest of the craftsmen. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left some of the poor of the land as vine dressers and farmers. The bronze pillars that were in the house of the Lord and the carts and the bronze seat that were in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans broke in pieces and carried all their bronze to Babylon. They also took away the pots, the shovels, the trimmers, the bowls, the spoons and all the bronze utensils with which the priests ministered. The basins, the fire pans, the bowls, the pots, the lampstands, the spoons, and the cups. Whatever was solid gold and whatever was solid silver, the captain of the guard took away. The two pillars, one sea, the 12 bronze bulls which were under it, and the carts which King Solomon had made for the house of the Lord, the bronze of all these articles was beyond measure. Now concerning the pillars, the height of one pillar was 18 cubits. A cubit is 18 inches. So we're looking at 27 feet. It was 27 feet, a measuring line of 12 cubits. Could measure its circumference, 18 feet, and its thickness was 4 fingers. It was hollow. Capital of bronze was on it. And the height of one capital was 5 cubits. With a network of pomegranates all around the capital, all of bronze. The second pillar, their pomegranates, was the same. There were 96 pomegranates on the sides. All the pomegranates all around on the network were 100. The captain of the guard took Zerahiah, the chief priest, Zephaniah, the second priest, and 3 doorkeepers. He also took out of the city an officer who had charge of the men of war, 7 men of the king's close associates were found in the city, the principal scribe of the army who mustered the people of the land, and 60 men of the people of the land were found in the midst of the city. Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. Then the king of Babylon struck them and put them to death at Riblah, the land of Hamath. Thus Judah was carried away captive from its own land. These are the people whom Nebuchadnezzar carried away captive. In the 7th year, 3,023 Jews. In the 18th year, Nebuchadnezzar, he carried away captive from Jerusalem 832 persons. In the 23rd year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive of the Jews 745 persons. All the persons were 4,600. Now it came to pass in the 37th year of captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 25th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the 1st year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and brought him out of prison. And he spoke kindly to him and gave him a more prominent seat than those of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiachin changed from his prison garments, and he ate bread regularly with before the king all the days of his life. And as for his provisions, there was a regular ration given him by the king of Babylon, a portion for each day until the day of his death, all the days of his life. So it gives us a quick historical understanding of what happened to these two kings, Zedekiah and Jehoiachin. Zedekiah, of course, his sons were killed and his eyes taken out. What do we learn from this beautiful book of Jeremiah? Next week we'll be in the book of Lamentations. It's 5 chapters, the Lamentations of Jeremiah over what has taken place. What do we learn? God's word must be followed. We don't compromise it. We don't change it. We don't reject it. When God speaks, we listen. When God says, live for me, we live for him. Amen? Holiness to the Lord, righteousness to the Lord. If we as a people are to serve God, we must honor him in our lifestyle and all that we do. Every marriage here in this church, every marriage needs to honor the Lord. Amen? Every family, every single person. We need to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. We want the blessings of God upon us as a family of God. Wherever God takes you, this church isn't the answer. I'm not your answer, of course. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's our answer. Some of you may move back to the mainland. Some of you may move to Outer Island. Some of you may move across the world. Stay in the Word of God. a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word is the sword of the Spirit. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. This is our life blood, if you will, from the Lord. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. John 1:1. Jesus is the Word, and He speaks to us. He is the manna from heaven. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is in our hearts, and He changes our lives. And all God's people said, let's stand and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your loving grace and kindness. Lord, we thank You so very much for all that You have given us. We thank You for this marvelous man of God, Jeremiah. His unfaltering character. His enduring ways of life. His perseverance to preach Your word no matter what. Anoint us, Lord. Anoint us in these last days. We must be people of truth. And yes, we must be people of love. And thus we must speak the truth in love. Anoint us and use us to reach family, to reach friends, to reach co-workers, to reach strangers in the streets, people in the marketplaces, people across the world. Use us to be bright lights, that Jesus Christ would be our love and our testimony, that we would be salt of the earth, that we will not be afraid as You call us to proclaim righteousness in the land. This Hawaii motto, the life of the land is perpetuated in righteousness, will be one day embraced by all the Hawaiian people, all that dwell here. That righteousness will come from God through the Word of God. That there would be a tremendous, tremendous outpouring of Your Spirit upon every preacher, upon every teacher, upon every Christian. That everyone in these islands would be saved before it's too late. If you're here tonight, you've never given your heart to Christ, you need to get right with God, you need to ask Him to save your soul, ask Jesus into your heart, then please raise your hand. Anybody here not saved, you need to get saved. Raise your hand. Anybody here? May Your hand of blessing be upon Your people, Lord. May You guide our hearts together as one. May You be glorified and magnified and exalted. And may You just lead us together as one. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.